Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Now, Psalm 103 from verse 1. The Lord just spoke to me while the psalm was on the screen. Psalm 103 verse 1. Praise the Lord. Before we go into the word, I want you to look at this. Can you repeat this verse with me? 1, 2, 3, let's go. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Stop right there. There are things within you. We are more aware of the things around us. So we sometimes only bless the Lord when there are things around you, things you can see. Then you feel, oh no, I can bless the Lord because I see this, I see this, I see this. But I want to show you something. Before things appear around you, they are usually within you. And that's where you need to start blessing the Lord. Bless him when you haven't seen them. All that is within me. There are things within you. As a matter of fact, anything around you will always begin within you. If I couldn't push it further, if it hasn't been from within, it will not stay without. This is why people lose things. He has something, then he lost it. He has something, then it got broken because it wasn't from within. When something is from within and it manifests itself without, it is stuck with you forever. It is yours. Do you understand that? So there are things within you. And this is why we bless the Lord. Don't only start blessing God when a gift has now come without. I can see it. Okay, Lord, I thank you for this. That's the obvious part. Do you understand? Can I shock you a little bit further? What will bring it without is your praise. It is within. But what will cause it to come without is your blessing the Lord. As you bless the Lord, the things that are within you will start coming out of you. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? Raise your voice and bless the Lord for a few minutes, everybody. Just bless the name of the Lord. Just bless the name of the Lord. Libra geza bregadaba. Bless him. Bless him this morning, church. Bless him. Help me bless him. Bless him, bless him, bless him. Bless him for the things that are within you. Bless him for the things that are within you. Bless him for the things no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. But God is working in you. God is working in you. God is working in me. There are things within me. Bless the Lord for the things that are within you. Somebody thank God for the things that are within you. The dreams, the anointing, the favor, the grace, the houses, the things that are within you. You are not empty. You are not poor. There are things within you. You may not see them yet, but I speak to you prophetically this morning. There are things within you. You are not poor. You are not hopeless. There are things within you. There are things within you. Just bless the Lord. Just bless the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a wave this morning. Give the Lord a wave. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Oh, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord with a wave. Bless the Lord with your words. Give Him the praise. Give Him the praise. Shandoreba. Manderebo, Mantenema, Santanone, Branchirevela, Masokolema, Makandareba, Masokolema, Mentereveda, Willikatola, Masherebea, Makantonema. Great things He has done. Great things He has done. Great things He has done. Mighty victories He has accomplished. Many blessings He has lavished on us. Bless the Lord. Now all that is within me. Thank you, Father. We celebrate you. You are our God. Can I tell you something? Anybody here that is struggling to worship God has an idol. The greatest obstacle to freedom in the presence of God is the presence of idols in our lives. An idol is somebody or something that has taken the place of God. Something or somebody that you value, that has stolen your mind, that has stolen your thoughts, that has stolen your attention. That thing has become an idol, and that thing becomes an obstacle to the worship of God. That's why when you come to church, we say worship God. You struggle. And the reason you struggle is not because you cannot. I want you to understand. It's not that maybe there are only some people that are chosen. No. The problem is there's something. There's something within you that has taken the place of God. That's why you see, you cannot worship so many things. So if you are worshiping an idol, when it's time to worship God, you will be out of touch and out of place. You will not know what we are talking about. So I pray for you this morning. Every idol in your life, every idol, open your mouth and start praying. Any idol in your life, any idol, anything that is it a music? Is it a person? Is it a girlfriend? Is it a boyfriend? Is it a job? What has taken the place of God? Is it a problem? Is it a weakness? Something that has become more important than God, and is stealing your worship. Is stealing your worship. Is stealing your worship. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we cannot worship another image but the living God. We cannot worship anything else. Come on, come against every idol. Every idol in your life. Every idol in your life. We burn it by fire. We burn it by fire. We burn it by fire. I stand in the position of a high priest, and I say, every idol in your life, come down now. Come down now. In the name of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. Sometimes the idol is yourself. Sometimes the idol is not something else. It's yourself. You love yourself. You worship yourself. You are too conscious of yourself. That when you come before God, you are too conscious of yourself that you can't give anything to God. You are unable to give things from within you to God. Because what is within is idols. Many have become polluted. Polluted. They can't worship the living God. Because there are idols in their spirits. There are other things that they worship. I pray for you that God will truly be your God. That you will not have idols on the side. The first and greatest command, well, the greatest commandment is you shall love the Lord your God. But the Bible says the first commandment of the thing, you shall not have any other God beside your God. You shall not have any other God. You should only worship the living God. Anything else is an idol. Your phone can become your idol. Your clothes can become your idol. Your beauty can become your idol. Every time you look at yourself in the mirror, you are so in love with yourself. You forget that you are dust and that you came from dust and you are going back to the dust. You become so deceived that when you come before God, you feel you are too beautiful to raise your voice and lift your hands. You feel you are too powerful. It's an idolatry. I pray for you this morning. Any form of idolatry, lima sotela, makere masora pelada, anjere pelika felade, asoro pelevele katoya. Any form of idol in your spirit, in your soul, in your mind, let it come down in the name of Jesus. There's a song we used to sing in South Africa. I will serve no foreign God. No any other treasure. Why? For you are my hiding side. The spirit without measure unto your name. What will I do? I will bring what? My sacrifice. Come on, give him your sacrifice. 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 Hallelujah. You see, the Bible says, every knee shall bow. Now, you can bow willingly, or you will bow that day by force. But if you have knees, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's why we come to church. We come to church to remind ourselves we didn't create ourselves. I say you didn't create yourself. Nobody here created themselves. Someone created us. His name is God. Modimo. Nkulunkulu. He created us. We are his children. And when we come before him, forget about yourself. There's another song we used to sing. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship him. You see, you can't worship God if you are not if you don't forget about yourself. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is with me, bless his holy. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Don't forget all that he has done for you. You know, God told Cyrus, even though you don't know my name, I've done this. Many of us are like Cyrus. God does so much for you, and you are not aware he is the one doing those things for you. That is Isaiah 45, verse 1 to 5. He says, even though you didn't know my name, I went before you. He said, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before you, to lose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. Verse 2. Look at it. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. You see, all the things he's describing are things that are blocking people. This is why people are not moving, because there are crooked places, because there are gates of bronze, there are bars of iron. A bar of iron standing before you in 1,000 years, you are going nowhere. You are going nowhere. You're trying to go to school, you trust me. The bars of iron are standing before you. The Most High says, I will go before you and I will cut the bars of iron. Look at verse 3. He says, I will give you the treasures in darkness. Meaning these are things people don't easily see. These are opportunities that are not easily accessible. He will make you aware of them. Hidden riches in secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by name, I am the God of Israel. Look at verse 4. He says to him, for Jacob's sakes and Israel my elect, I have even called you by name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I've been working on your case and you don't even know me. You don't even know me. You don't even know me. You don't even know who is the reason why you woke up this morning. You don't even know who is behind you not falling into that trap. You just know that you are ending December and many people died, but you don't even know who's been helping you behind the scenes. You just know that you are eating every day at home and other people, as if God doesn't know them, as if God has abandoned them, as if they live in another planet. I mean, there are people in South Africa that are living under bridges. If you go to Rustenburg, Leeds Street, there's a particular pharmacy there. If you drive there around 7 p.m. at night, you will not believe where you are. You will not believe where you are. All kinds of people come with cardboards and they make a hotel there. That's where they sleep. I passed there this year in winter. I almost cried. My people sleeping by the road. And they sleep next to each other to warm each other. In raw, hard winter. He says, you don't even know me. You don't know I'm the one who covers you. I'm the one who makes sure you are not on the street. I'm the one who even calls you to come to church today. Like, I'm the one who created the desire in you. Let's go to church. You don't even know me. It will change for you when you start worshiping him because you know him. Paul was in Rome. He found a particular statue they have made, he says, and it was written to an unknown God. And he says to them, you know, I came today to tell you about this God that you don't know about. And I'm standing before you this morning to talk about a God that some of us don't know. And yet we are bound to meet him someday. Whether you realize it or not. Please take your seat in the presence of the Lord. We're going to talk briefly on a subject I have entitled, From Nice to Nasty. We've all experienced change in people. We've all experienced change in people. Can you help? We've all experienced, that's okay. We've all experienced change in people. People started nice. How many of you have experienced that when you met this guy, he was nice? That is why your mother married him. Do you really think that he was as bad as he is now and your mother could have married the guy? No. We are not that stupid. Everybody under the sound of my voice has one at one stage or another come across somebody who was very nice. And they were so nice that, you know, you felt you could give them a chance. But along the way, they became nasty. Now, when people become nasty, sometimes we blame certain things. Oh no, now he has money, that's why he's doing this. No. Money doesn't change people. Money just reveals people. Actually, nothing changes. People are who they are. It's just that usually conditions are not properly orchestrated for you to discover who they truly are. I hope I'm communicating still. Money has never changed anyone. Money just reveals people. This is who the person is. Power doesn't change people. It reveals who they are. So the more you were maybe just a porter, now you are a supervisor, or now you are a manager. All of a sudden, you're starting to shout at everybody. But you know, the shouting was in you. You didn't just have the platform to express it. When God asked me to resign from the work I was doing, I was earning more money than I had ever in all the years I had worked. And then God asked me to resign from the job. Now, if money was having a hold on me, that was the wrong time to resign. Because I had just been, my money had just been increased. And it was time to start now enjoying the money. That is rather when God said, let it go. So not everybody is changed by money or by a job. Do you understand? No, not everybody. When you see somebody changing like that, understand that the person was always like that. But you didn't just know that this is what was inside of them. Now, we're talking this month about being faithful. I want to show you something that I hope you'll never forget for the rest of your life. Hebrews 2 verse 14. Let's go there quickly. The Bible here says, for if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Praise the name of the Lord forevermore. Listen to me. There are some things to share with Christ. But not everybody will share in those things. The only requirement to sharing with Christ is that you gotta be found faithful. You gotta be faithful. Not powerful, not eloquent, not looking nice, not dressing nice. All those things are good, but that is not the main thing that God is looking at. Faithfulness. You have to be faithful to the end. To the end. Now, this has got a lot to do with character, who you are inside. Because we are very good at portraying an image outside, we are very good at looking nice, we are very good at masquerading. Today, there are so many tools we can use to appear what we are not. If there is a stain here, I can put makeup and I hide it. You will not know that there's something there. If I have cheese cup like myself, I can go and get a wig and I put on a wig and I appear here. You will think that I have hair. Meanwhile, I don't have hair. Oh, I have it, but I bought it. It's not mine. You understand? Like, it's not the real, real hair. All of these things are designed to deceive. They deceive people. I've said this many times in the church. Be careful of a lady who uses too much makeup. It's not that there's something wrong with makeup, but don't use it every day, all night. I mean, what the question, what are you hiding? Some people, it's like they were born with makeup. You see those things that come on the baby, those. Have you ever seen a baby that is coming out of? Some of you are looking like, what are you talking about? They say it's powder. It's the powder. So the baby was already practicing with the powder. So that now they just now do the right thing. I don't think so. I don't think so. So we are skilled at deceiving. Very skilled. We smile when we don't really mean it. Like we know the tricks. So we are not real. We are not real. And I'm just asking myself, is there anybody in your life with whom you are real? True. Is there anybody? Because I know you are deceiving the pastor. You are deceiving your constituency leader. You are deceiving your beloved. You are deceiving your father. You are deceiving your mother. You are deceiving your brothers and sisters. You are deceiving everybody. But I want to ask you a question. Is there at least one person? One. That when you are with this person, you take off the mask. You remove the makeup. You wash your face. Then we start seeing the tiger signs. You know those? The spots. The leopard spots. See, you are looking like a lamb with the makeup. Meanwhile, you are a leopard. Now that we have removed, now that we have cleared the makeup, the real skin. So for you to be faithful to the end, brother, you have to be yourself. You have to be real. You can't fake it for too long like that. You can fake it for one day, for 2 days, but you can't fake it till the end. Along the way, your real self will come out. That's why I want to encourage you. You see, we are at the end of the year. And what I've learned with years of experience is that most people start well. Most people. So the beginning is usually nice. They are faithful. They are committed. They want to do it. But along the way, as things start happening to them, they start changing. And usually towards the end, they've turned into a leopard. That's why God placed everything on faithfulness. Not power. Not beauty. Faithfulness. The Bible says the faithfulness of the Lord is as His faithfulness reaches the skies. And I've taught you in the church why the Bible mentions the sky. Because the sky is usually blue in color. And the color blue, apart from meaning wisdom, it also means reliable. Blue stands for wisdom, but blue also stands for faithful. So God wanted you to know He is faithful. Everything in your life might be dark, but the sky will always remind you there's a God up there who doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. He will not let you down. He will not abandon you in the middle of the ocean. You know, it's so comforting to look at the blue sky. You see, whenever you look at the blue sky, you see, it gives a good feeling. You feel at ease. Do you understand? Imagine you look at the sky and the sky is red. Oh! You see that blue sky? It keeps you at peace. When the sky becomes dark and black, hey, you know something bad is about to happen. God is faithful. And the sky reminds you He is faithful. He will not change on you. And He wants you to be faithful. Be faithful. What is a faithful person? A faithful person, number one, is a person that is consistent. Consistent. In other words, once you start with it, you are on it. I can mention so many people now that started things. They haven't been consistent. So they are failing not because they don't have the potential. The failure comes rather from the fact that they are inconsistent. Anybody that has ever succeeded at any level is consistent with something. Anyone that has ever failed at any level, check his life, they are lacking consistency. Consistency in prayer, consistency in the study of the word, consistency in church attendance, consistency in tithe and offering, consistency. Consistency in keeping the right attitude. Are you consistent? What's a faithful person? A person who's committed. 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 Are you committed? Are you committed? Because that's what it takes to make it. You have to be consistent and you have to be committed. Committed means the whole of you is inside the thing. All of you is inside. Why do we fail? Only 2% or 20% is inside. The other 80% is somewhere else. Committed. Are you committed to the relationship? Are you committed to your studies? Are you committed to the project? Oh no, Muruti, it's December. I cannot continue buying building materials. I mean, we need to enjoy ourselves. I think about the project next year around March. You are not committed. You are not committed because next year March there will be something else. And then you will push it again. Before you realize another year has ended and you are still at foundational level. I hope you have seen houses on the street that are uncompleted. Oh, are we talking to you? That's uncompleted projects. It takes a lot of commitment to start a project and to finish it. It takes a lot of commitment. So I'm dealing with character flaws. That's the point. I said the cracks in the wall. Yeah. It's not that you don't have money. You are not committed when money comes. How many of you know that before the money, you are very committed? You know, Pastor, as soon as the money arrives, I'm doing this. I've even written down. Yesterday, to this way myself, we met a brother. The brother was not in a very good state of mind. So we knew what is going on with the brother. I mean, the aroma was all over the place. So he says to us, brothers, he says to me, Pastor, I've tried to stop this thing. But, Pastor, if you can find a place for me and you take me there for 6 months, don't tell anybody where I am. You just take me to that place
6 months. I'll be fine. I said, oh, I will look for that place. But right now, where are you going? Because we met you on the way. He said, hey, you see, I'm going to a wrong place. I said, ah. And I asked him, what are you going to do in that wrong place? I'm going to buy something bad. But this is the last time. Tiriso, you were there. This is the last time I'm buying it. You go look for a place. Because I've tried. I couldn't manage. You look for a place. You take me there. You lock me for 6 months. I said, I understand. But don't you think we could start now? Instead of you going to this place, let's just stand by. I said, no, Pastor. Let me go there for now. But you look for the place. And when you find a place, lock me there. How many months? 6 months. You are not committed. Pastor must be committed for you. It will not work. Because even inside there, you will find something there. When you are not committed, nobody can help you. When you are not committed, nobody can help you. My prayer for you is that you will begin to be committed. Be a committed person. When you start something, work on it until something comes out of it. Ah, you can't keep starting, you drop, you go and start another one, you drop, you start. When are you going to start and finish? When? It's not the lack of money. It's a lack of commitment. A faithful person is a reliable person. You can rely on the person. When they give you their word, you can rely on their word. You know they will keep their promise. Not everybody can do that these days. These days, even when they sign, you still can't rely on that. Reliable and committed people, get December, no December, I'm going to church. December, no December, I'm serving God. December, no December, I am fully committed to the house of God. But uncommitted members is from March to September. From March, because now the problems are beginning to hit, so they start running to church. January, they are still babalassing from December, so we can't see them. February is Valentine's. They've gone east again. So by March, all their minds is now back. And they realize, hey, I have problems. Let me go to church. Committed members are rising out of this church. Committed. Committed. You are committed to God. Whether it is rain or sunshine, I want to ask you a question. When it's raining, don't you go to work? When it's raining, don't you go to school? Now that you are coming to church, you are not committed to God. When it's raining, I couldn't come, it was raining. I couldn't come, it was too hot. But everywhere else you go, I say you are committed to the thing. You are committed. You are committed. I said, if you can commit to these other things that are passing away, because by the way, you are taking nothing with you. Just in case you forgot. The Bible says, naked we came to this world. And we leave this world with a track. And we leave the world with a track full of goods that we have accumulated for ourselves. No. You came naked. You are going back how? Naked. Everything you accumulate, you will leave behind.
It takes wisdom to even understand that. That these things are running around. You have abandoned God. You have abandoned the presence of God. You are running around looking for things to accumulate. You are leaving all of them behind, by the way. And you're going to face the God you were uncommitted to. That's why I want you to be committed to God. And I want you, if God has sent you to this church, are you listening to me? If you believe that God sent you to this church, then I'm expecting you to be committed to this church. I'm expecting you to start treating this church very seriously. Don't treat it like a casual thing you do when you can, when you have a chance, when circumstances allow, when possibilities are within your reach, when the capacities are within your power, then you can make a way. No. If you really believe God sent you here, then I'm expecting the same commitment you have for your school, for your work, have even a greater commitment for this church. Can I tell you something? I'm expecting the members of this church, if D.D. Jakes comes to have a program right here in Lidak, Sunday morning, 10:30, if you are committed to this church, I'm expecting when I appear here on stage, you should be sitting right where you are. Right where you are. I shouldn't look for you. It shouldn't be, you are sending a message. No, there's a funeral. Meanwhile, you're going to teach these things. And you are an usher. Meanwhile, you joined the team during the Facebook. They were doing the Facebook announcement. You already registered yourself as an usher to the program. And you are a member of the church, but you've already registered yourself as an usher. So Sunday morning, I appear here. I can't see my members because they are not committed here. Anything can take them away. Anything that looks a bit nice can take them away. Look, commitment doesn't mean what you are with is the best thing ever. No. It means this is where I have chosen to be. Commitment to a wife doesn't mean she will be the most beautiful woman in the world. As far as you are concerned, she must be the most beautiful woman in your world. Other people might not consider her to be beautiful. It is their own baby. As far as you are concerned, this is the most handsome man that has ever walked the face of the earth. So when you see John Cena, you just say, oh, wow. And you continue your work nicely. You go back to your chicken licking nicely. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? I said, if you see John Cena, the master, you know, you've seen the master of John Cena. Even with that ushering, you will start falling down by yourself. That's, without any touching, you just, That a committed member, a committed partner, you see the master, you say, may God help you. And you continue to your chicken licking nicely. You are committed. You are committed. It is not the most popular thing, but it is what you have chosen. I don't want you to be at ABC because it is the popular thing at the moment. And as soon as another popular thing comes, you leave us to the next popular thing. The other time, a member was telling us that some guys were coming to start a church in Lidak, and they were calling it a church of celebrities. Yes. I don't know if you heard about it, but they were calling the church of celebrities. And they were going from house to house,
to recruit members. And they tell the members, you know, only celebrities will be attending this church. And they will be giving clothes to the members. And they say, not just any clothes, designer clothes. They came to tell her. They came to tell her that she must write her name among the people that are joining the church because it's a celebrity church. I just asked myself, if those people had approached you, I'm sure you're going to say, hey, so which celebrity? I just want to make sure, which one is coming? No, we are committed. I say we are committed. If Benny Hinn comes to South Africa, we thank God. But if God didn't speak to your pastor to say, let's go to Benny Hinn, your pastor expects you here on Friday prayer, Saturday rehearsal, Sunday morning service, and there shouldn't be an argument about it. There shouldn't be an argument about it. There shouldn't be an argument. There shouldn't be an argument. I mean, anything else, it means you are not committed. It means you are not committed. And it's so easy to take you away. It's so easy to take you away. Just about anything can take you away. Say, I am committed. I am loyal. I am faithful. To the end. Hallelujah. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. Just excuse me, I'm just teaching you the word. I'm just teaching you the word. Let's go where I stopped last week. John 6:66. One of the most dangerous scriptures in your Bible. Where you are finding the sign 666. Then now ask yourself, what is the verse talking about? A verse that has 666. What is the verse talking about? Look at the verse. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted Jesus. 666. At this point. You know, you can follow Jesus to some point. What was happening at this point? Jesus now turns and starts saying to the people, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot be my disciple. The people say, what? We always know that this guy, there's something wrong with this guy. Can you believe them? The guy said, we must eat his flesh and we must drink his blood. This is vampirism. I mean, this is Dracularism that the man has brought. You see? So at this point, they say this is a hard teaching. Who can receive it? A hard teaching. In other words, when things become hard, then you are really tested. At that point. When things are hard. Oh, Pastor, it's so hard to come to church. Ish. All my cousins are at home. Everybody has come. Every day we are just enjoying ourselves. It's so hard to leave them and go to church. I mean, they will laugh at me. It is so hard. Okay, December. It's so hard. All my cousins are around. They are all around and it is so nice. At this point, Pastor, at this point, you will see me next year, Pastor. You will see me next year. March. At this point, I'm just asking you a question this morning. What is that point for you? Why are you changing the scripture? Keep the scripture that was there. Thank you. At this point, everybody has a breaking point.
Like, I can stand this thing until this point. Help me preach and ask your neighbor, what is your breaking point? What is your breaking point? What makes you to break in your commitment? What makes you to break? That from this point, you are no more with us. Even though you are still coming to church, come on somebody, I believe some of these disciples, maybe they started strolling behind. That they are still in the system, but they are no more with you. They are still in the WhatsApp groups, but they've left you. They are still there. You see them from time to time. But there was a point when they left you. They are no more part of you. What you are dealing with is the body. It's just the body that is appearing from time to time. And then you are thinking, oh, no, so and so is there. But their mind is gone. Their spirit is gone. Their money is gone. Anything that really matters to them left you long time ago. They took away their support. They took away their commitment. They took away their intelligence. Anything that really matters to them, they don't bring it to your thing. They just bring themselves. At this point, pull out. They are no more committed. They are no more reliable. When you are making fundraising, you can't rely on them. When it's raining, you can't count on them. I mean, like, they are out. They are strolling at the back. They deserted Jesus. And these are not crowds. These are disciples. People he trained. People he equipped. People he built up. People he helped. People he chose. People he empowered. Just because things became a bit hard, they say, you know what? We are out. Verse 67. Yes. We are almost done. Are you blessed though? Yes. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked them, are you also going to leave? You know, Jesus wants to know who is with me. Because these ones have already left. You guys are still around. I don't know. Are you truly here? Or you are just checking your way? Like, what? You know, let me make it easy for you. Do you want to leave or what do you want? Decide. Don't be into two pots at the same time. Choose your place. Choose your place. Don't be with me and against me at the same time. Like, 1 minute, I feel you are here. But as soon as I turn my back, the way you are talking, it shows you are not with me. I was talking about a political party in South Africa whose leader went on TV and he said, you know what, guys? I think I'm tired of people living unawares. Anybody that wants to go, born, I just go. Leave us alone so that we can know who we have and who we don't have, and then we can start fixing ourselves. I'm always surprised why a person doesn't want to be there, but he's there. Decide. And make it easy for yourself and for the group. So that they know, okay, this one is not with us. So after these people left Jesus, Jesus said there are still 12 that are here. He tells, you know what, guys? What about you? What about you? I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be here thinking that you are with me.
And yes, and tomorrow when I wake up, I check my WhatsApp group, so and so left.
Hey! Then I go to bed again. I wake up the next day, so and so and so and so also left. I said, I want to make it seem easy. Who wants to go? Who wants to go? Please. Do you also want to leave? This is a question to test commitment. I don't want to continue moving with people that want me to change how I'm talking. Because if I want to say something hard, I must not say it. Because if I say it, they will leave. So the leader must not change for the sake of the members. How many things can you achieve in this world without hardness? How many things can you achieve? If you are not hard, what will ever happen? But all hard leaders are hated. Yet it is their hardness that causes us to rise and become something. The accusation of the man who was given one talent and did nothing with it was, I knew you are a hard man. You are a hard man. I knew you are hard. There are very few things that will be achieved if everybody is soft. In fact, nothing will be achieved if everybody is soft. That the quintessential argument in the American elections is that one person is hardcore. He says, this is what is right. If you don't want this, decide. And the other person says, we are the liberals. We tolerate everything. Everything can go. Anything is fine. If a child is born, the child wants to be a woman, they can give him money to go and make the... My God, what is going on? No. We should allow people. Everybody must do what they like. And you can never build America if that... You were never going to have America if this is how we were thinking. And then you take such people, you fill them in the army. When it's time to go and find in Afghanistan, they run away. And then we lose every war. Because they don't have a backbone, they can't fight. They are good at defending rights, but they cannot defend the right of the country. They can't. They don't have the strength to do it. This world is hard. If you are too soft, you will be buried earlier. So Jesus, being a hard leader, after many left, his hardness even became harder. He said, look guys, who wants to still go? I want to give you a chance. If you want to go, just clear. I want to know who is really here. Who is really here with me? Luke 68. This is helping somebody in this church. Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? To whom would we go? You see, he's saying, look, there are no other alternatives as far as I am concerned. I have cleared all the alternatives long time ago. I'm no more trying to figure out, is Pastor Pascal my pastor? Should he be the right one? Is Jesus really the way to heaven? Or should we try other ways? I mean, if you are still stuck in, is Jesus the only way? I'm not sure. I mean, I think we should check this thing very well. I mean, how can Jesus be the only way? I mean, what do you mean for all the other people that don't know Jesus? You haven't decided. You haven't decided. You are not committed properly. Peter says, look, we've dropped all the alternatives aside long time ago. No other option. There are no options left. You are the only option that is nigh here. Look, you can never be committed until you reach that level where you are no more having other options. You can't be with this guy and then you still have other options. You are with this girl, but you still have other options. You will never be committed. You will never be committed. You will never be committed. You cannot be in this church and you still have other options. You are with Jesus, but you are still looking at John the Baptist. You are still looking at Pontius Pilate. You are still looking at Barabbas. You are still looking at many other leaders that are in the community. Who are you committed to? Who are you committed to? I'm trying to say to you, there's nothing wrong with you committing to one thing. After all, Paul says, one thing I do. One thing. That's not a lot of things. One thing. Commit. You only have one life to live. You can't use it trying out so many things. Okay, you are with Susie today, but you feel Susie, and you also want to try Sarah. I mean, let's give Sarah a little chance, and then let's go to Sylvia a little bit. I mean, what about Sylvina? Maybe Sylvina. What about Sosori? I mean, you are just moving all over town. By the time you open your eyes, you are 82 years old and you are on your way to 8 feet under. Commit to somebody, build your life and finish it faithfully. Faithfully, faithfully, faithfully. They say you have the words that give eternal life. In other words, Jesus, look, I'm not with you by mistake. Listen, something happens to me when I'm in your presence. I'm aware of it. Yeah. It takes wisdom to realize that when I'm with this person, this is what happens to me. And it's different when I'm with this other person. So Peter noticed that whenever I'm with Jesus, the things he says, they give me life. I become alive when I'm with Jesus. Now, when I'm with other people, maybe I become intelligent. Maybe I even become confused. But when I'm with this particular person, I don't know why, but everything he does, it affects me in a good way. Are you able to notice when you are in the presence of a person that affects you in a good way? Or for you, everybody is the same. Everybody is the same. Everybody is the same. Every church is the same. Every pastor is the same. Every why don't you say every doctor is the same? After all the schools are the same. Why can't you send your child to the nearest public school? Why is it that you recognize differences in other things, but when it comes to your faith, everything is the same? Brother, everything has never, shall never, will never be the same. Ever. There's nothing like that. You must learn to recognize the differences. Whenever I'm here, oh man, there's something there. I don't know what it is, but there's something there. Have you ever felt like that? I don't know what it is, but there's something there. There's something there. So Peter says, listen, there's something here. Now he takes it home. Verse 69. We are almost closing. We believe and we know. He's answering Jesus. Jesus asked him, do you also want to go? He said, number one, where can we go? You have the words of life. Then Jesus, let me help you. We believe and we know. Have you reached this level? Have you reached this level where you believe and you know? This is it for me. This is it for me. I'm talking about faithfulness. What is going to take for you to be faithful to the end? You got to believe and know certain things. If you are still in gray areas, you are still confused, I mean, all you need is one rumor. You are out. One accusation against your pastor, you are out. One little offense from an usher outside, you are out. Years ago, a certain sister left the church and she went to her pastor to say to her pastor, I'm leaving this church. The pastor said, but what is the problem? She says, you didn't greet me. Last week you came, you greeted this one, you greeted this one, you greeted this one. You jumped me and you went and greeted the other person. I'm leaving this church. Greeting was enough, or lack of greeting was enough to take her out. You see, the man that is talking to Jesus, Jesus called him a devil before. Jesus said to him, you in particular, you must go behind. Satan has entered you. Imagine now, I said to you, stand up. Go behind. Because I said, get behind me. Go behind. And then he said, Satan, you are Satan. That's the man that is saying to Jesus, we believe. And we know. He said, we believe. And we know that you are the Holy One of God. You are the Holy One. 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 Even if you call me a devil, you are the Holy One of God. Even if you say I must go behind, you are the Holy One of God. You are the Holy One of God. This is a truly committed member. It's a member you can correct him, but it doesn't change him. He even loves you more after you correct him. Some members, you didn't greet. And you don't even know why. Maybe you didn't even see what was going on. They take offense. Pastor, I'm leaving the church. I see you have favorites. We're sitting all day. You greeted 1, 2, 3. You jumped me. And you went and greeted the other person. I don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate it at all. I've had a bad week because of you. Where are the committed members of this church? Committed members. Yes. Come what may. This is where God sent me. I'm here. Mama Patricia, it's good to see you. It's good to see you after many months. We thank God for your life. We thank God. Even if you are in Pokeng, we know we are together. We are together. This is why, because when she is in Lidak, she knows where she belongs. Mama Patricia almost got involved in a car accident one day coming to church. Yes. And she is still coming. Amen. Can we end this message? We shouldn't end the message. We believe. Say with me, I believe. And I know. You see, that's how you have to be. Yeah. I should be able to say, I believe. And I know that this is the only woman for me.
I believe and I know you are the only man.
Philip, are you learning something here? Rishem, are you learning something here? We believe and we know. Look, anything else will not last. It will not last. It will not last. You just need to see something else. Shake the buttocks like this. And then before you realize, hey, you are beginning to go for free. Commitment, commitment. I say commitment, commitment, commitment. I am committed. I am committed. I am committed till the end. Yeah. I shouldn't have said yes. But now that I have said yes, till the end, I will not look back. I will not look back. This is how you build a house. This is how you buy a car. This is how you get married. This is how you become a pastor. Anything will require commitment. Don't get commitment till the end. Yeah. Because otherwise, you see that land you bought. You understand? The type of trees that are now growing there for free. You say you are buying a land, you are building a house. We didn't say, you said you are building a house, so you bought a land. Lack of commitment. You don't even remember where the plot is. Like, if we now send you to go and locate it, you will pass it. You will pass it still looking for it. You will pass it on the way. You will pass it on the way. They ask, why are you going to say, I'm going to my plot. But you just pass it. The last time you was there was in 1979. No commitment at all. No commitment. I shouldn't say these things now. I should leave you guys alone. It's December. It's December. I should not preach like this. Muruti, this is a silent night, holy night. So don't bring hard stuff. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Look, there are no jingle bells here today. We are not jingling anything. We are not jingling anything here. Yeah. No jingles. Tell your neighbor, there are no jingle bells here. There are no jingle bells. We are here for the word of God. We are here for the word of God. Verse 70, then Jesus finishes them. He said, Jesus said, I chose the 12 of you. Look, Jesus, we have to be serious. Everybody has left you. It is only us, the 12, that have remained. And as you tend to ask, you say, do you also want to go? Then we reassure you. We say to you, look, we believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. Then instead of you to say, thank you so much, guys. I feel so comforted. I feel so blessed. You now open your mouth and you say that one of you here. Put your hands together for Jesus. Jesus is a heart. Jesus is a heart leader. Jesus is a heart leader. He's strong. He's not moved. After that beautiful answer, his reply to them is that one of you is the devil. So even the 12 that have remained, there's still a problem. One of you, he doesn't say one of you looks like a devil. He doesn't say one of you acts like a devil. He doesn't say one of you behaves as a devil. He says one of you is. I don't know if you can handle this truth.
But the fact of the matter is, Jesus was trying to tell us, not all human beings are human beings. Sometimes you think you are dealing with a human being, but actually, what is standing before you is a devil. You are dealing with a devil in a human flesh. You are dealing with a devil. And that's why sometimes you can feel something is wrong. Man, this person, he just tortures me day and night. But, I mean, no matter what I do, it is never good enough. The best, you are dealing with a devil. You will never be able to please the devil. You will never do good enough to the devil. Human beings were not created to hate in a certain way. To hate in a certain way. So there are certain things that when they start happening, you yourself should realize that no. What is going on here? I said, what is going on here? It's not normal. This is not normal. This is not normal. I'm dealing with a devil. I'm dealing with a devil. If in the day of Jesus, one person became a devil, and the Bible says that in the later days, there will be difficult times in the world. And we all know that demons multiply every year. So if in the days of Jesus, one person was a devil, you think about how many devils are in the world today. Verse 71, as we close. He was speaking of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, one of the 12. Watch it. Who would when? Later betray him. At the moment Jesus made this announcement, there was no sign of betrayal in Judas. It is something that was going to happen when?
Later.
Much later. Much later. And you see, this is the greatest test of faithfulness, loyalty, commitment, reliability, time. Time is what is used to test your heart. You can be so faithful right now, yet later you will become something else. So don't judge the word based on now. If you judge what I'm teaching based on today, a lot of you are very faithful right now. You are jumping. You are smiling. You are nice. Now. But later. 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 It is when you go later that you realize what was there. What was there. So Judas was one of the most trusted person Jesus had. How do we know this? Jesus put him in charge of his money. Jesus gave him the ministry purse. You don't give your money to somebody you don't trust. So Judas was a highly trusted person. Yet later, Judas betrayed Jesus for money. I just want to ask you a personal question. What will happen to you later? Where will you be later? I hear what you are saying today, but what will you be saying later? I see what you are doing today, but what will you be doing later? My prayer for you and myself is that till Jesus returns, that we should remain faithful, committed, reliable till the very end. And that's why I'm teaching. I'm teaching so that you know how to avoid certain behaviors. There are certain things that turn Judas into the person, into Iscariot. Nobody is born a Judas. Nobody. Even Hitler was not born Hitler. Do you know that Hitler wanted to join the choir before? Yes. Hitler, your Hitler. Hitler went to apply to join the choir in the church. I said, Hitler could have been a very nice soprano. Meanwhile, there's a mass killer right there like that. 50 million people dead because of one man. Nobody is born a Judas. People become Judases. Yeah. Even Judas was not a betrayer at the beginning. He became a betrayer when? Later. And sometimes the later depends on the type of your makeup. Some people later is just 1 week later. Some people just 1 hour later. Just 1 hour later, they have turned into an orango. Just 1 hour later. Some people just later after the service, themselves has come. Others is 1 year later, depending on the route. Others is 4 years later. Others is 10 years later. Yeah. And others is never. It never happens. It never happens. When they get hurt, they get healed and they recover and they continue on the race. I pray that that shall be your story. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you blessed by the word this morning? Stand on your feet, everybody. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. You see, by the grace of God, next week, I want to take you through the process of becoming a Judas. From nice to what? Nasty. From nice to nasty. I want to show you how Satan turned the wonderful. You know what Judas means? Judas means praise. So the day Judas was born, the mother named him Judas, saying, you're going to praise God, not kill God. Praise. Judas has spoiled a very good name. Today, nobody wants to name their child Judas. Meanwhile, Judas means praise. It's a nice name. But one man has spoiled the name for all of us. You didn't know this, but Mary means bitter. Mary, it means bitter. Now, Mary took a very bad name and she turned it into a nice name. Today, everybody is calling their daughters Mary. They don't know that Mary means bitter. It's coming from the Old Testament with Myra, the waters of Myra. Bitter waters. She took a bad name and turned it into a wonderful name. Judas took a very nice name and he messed up the name because of bad behavior. The choice is yours. The name you carry can become a name people want to name their children tomorrow. And because of you, that this guy, this girl was such a nice person, I want to name my child after this person. That the way you are going at the moment, will anybody ever name a child under you? That the way you are going. I can just look at you and say, no, I want to name my child. And then you look at Hitler and say, I want to call my child Hitler. All the remaining descendants of Hitler, I think there are left 3 in the whole world. Those people came together and make an agreement that they will not have children to kill the legacy of Hitler. So they entered a covenant among themselves that they will not have children. They will live, and I think there are left 3 in the whole world. And even the 3 that are left have changed their names. They don't call themselves Hitler. They entered the covenant. The 7 brothers, they entered the covenant. I mean the 7 family members. They decided we will not have children. Let's all agree that none of us will have a child. We will live and all die. To ensure that the legacy that has been spoiled by this man goes to the grave with us. Will there ever be anybody who will name his child after you? Very possible. You just need to decide from today. I'm not going to live my life anymore like this. I'm going to live my life in a good way. I'm going to be faithful, committed, reliable. I'm going to be a reliable uncle. I'm going to be a committed brother. I'm going to be a faithful sister. So that people will be inspired by my life. Yeah. Lift your hands to the heavens right now and start praying for grace. When it comes to these things, we need to pray for grace. Only the grace of God can spare you and me. Open your mouth and start praying for grace in the name of Jesus.
Bashta katole manda la bazolema, pele barashtole manda la bazeria roshta kata, pele barando le balanda la baleba, emprebando le belende le beleba, emprabando katolama. Father, give me the grace to be faithful till the end. Pray that prayer right now. Say, Father, I'm asking you to help me be faithful to you. Help me be faithful to your word. Help me become faithful to your commandment. Help me become faithful to your instructions, oh God. The grace to be faithful to the end. Come and pray that prayer from the depths of your heart. Jesus, help me become faithful. Take away disloyalty. Take away uncommitment. Lepalantolama. Lempre katoria roshta katolama. Palebalanda la bazeria roshta kata. Ilamando reba. Help, Lord Jesus. Help me walk faithfully before you. Elemala, 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 kalomalanda. Lempre bandole katalama. Father, help me walk faithfully before you. Help me walk faithfully before you, oh God. Le pa le manto kata e le prare manto baselema le prenga tola masalama pelempre basoria rosta kata e le barosta katalama e le baranda la basolema. Oh Jesus, I need your help. Oh Jesus, I need your help. Father, hide this word in my heart. Plant this word deeply within my heart. Make my heart a good ground. Make my heart receptive of this word. Father, let this word be planted deep in my spirit. Let no beds of the air, let no dry land or scorching of the sun take it away, Lord. Let the thorns of this world not take it away from me. Lord, let this word be planted on good ground. Grace to become a committed man, a committed woman, committed to you, committed to your house, committed, oh Jesus, to the family of God, which you have planted me on, oh God. Faithfulness, oh God. Stretch out your hand and say, Father, make me faithful. Stretch out your hand and say, Father, make me faithful.
Make me faithful. You are the potter. I am the clay. Make me faithful, Lord. Make me faithful. Father, make me faithful. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, we have prayed. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you are in the house of God today. You have heard Pastor talking about some people that left, that decided to not have a legacy of bad things. They wanted to not give birth to anything because they want that legacy to end with them. Guess what? Today, God has called you to come to church. God has turned your heart to Him. And He can, you can, decide to unite with Jesus. Decide to unite with God. Decide to enter a new covenant with God, a new legacy with God, a new relationship with God, a legacy of faith. Maybe you come from a family where people never believed in God. Maybe you come from a family where idol worship was the order of the day. Maybe you come from a place where there was no faith, nothing about spirituality. And then you've come to the house of God today. You are saying, Father, let me be the first one to begin this good legacy of spirituality, the good legacy of faith in Jesus Christ, the good legacy of believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord, as our Master, as the one who runs our lives, and as my Savior. Today, I want to surrender my life to you. Today, I want to follow you. Today, I want to enter a covenant with you, a covenant that was made possible through your blood, through your shed blood at the cross. Maybe you've come to test today, you are saying, Jesus, bring me back on track with you. Take my heart, take my mind, take my spirit. Change me today. I cannot change on my own. I cannot change with my own strength. I depend on you. Faith to be faithful with you. Faith to be faithful to you. Maybe that's you today. You are saying, Lord, help me. At the count of three, lift up your hands. He's here. He's going to help you. 1, 2, 3. Raise up your hand. You're saying, God, I want to be faithful to you. God sees your hand. Yes. God sees your hand. He sees your hand. Yes. Lift it up. Yes. Say, God sees your hand. He sees every hand lifted up in this place. He sees you and He's going to help you. Don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. You're saying, Jesus, I want a new covenant with you. You can put your hand out. Maybe you are also here. You've been in Jesus. You've been born again. You had surrendered your life to Jesus, but you went off track. In all honesty, you have not been a faithful person. You know that you've been serving God with a dual heart, with a double-mindedness, with a, looking at the weather, looking at circumstances, not at all costs. And you're saying, Lord, I want in on this journey with you at all costs, no matter the cost. I do not want to worry about my life. I want to surrender completely to you. I don't want to hold on or hang on. I want no more options. Pastor talked about options. You say, Lord, no more options for me. You are my one and only. You are my one and only. No more alternatives. I believe you are the way. I believe you are the truth. I believe you are the life. Jesus, I want to follow you. I look like Christian. I sound like Christian. I pray in tongues. I serve in church, but I have not followed you completely with a loyal heart. I want to be a loyal child of God. I want my heart to honor you. I want all that I am to honor you. Let me recommit my life to Jesus on this beautiful Sunday the 15th. At the count of three, you're saying, Jesus, I want you. I want you. Lift up your hand high and we're going to pray with you. 1, 2, 3. Hands are going up all over the building. You're saying, Jesus, start over. Start over. Start over. Don't be ashamed. Start over with me, Jesus. Start over. I want to start over. In Jesus' name, you can put your hand down. If you've lifted up your hand for any of this altar call, I want you to take a step of faith. Leave all that is behind you and walk on to Jesus. You're not coming to me. You're not coming to a pastor. You're not coming to a church. Leave your seats and come and stand right here and come and join us right here. If you've lifted up your hand, take a bold step. Take a step of faith. Come and join us here and we're going to pray with you. We're going to trust God with you for a new beginning, a new beginning, a new beginning, a new beginning. We are trusting God with you for a new thing that He's doing in your life. Come and join us right here. Come and join us right here. You know that you had the message, you had the word of God. You are saying, Jesus, it's you, it's you. Could it be that God has orchestrated this service? because he loved you. Could it be that God has made us gather together like this because he cares about you, because he's seen you? Could it be that you are not forgotten? Could it be that you are not forsaken? Could it be that Jesus wants to show you that he really loves you, that he really cares for you? Could it be that we are here for this moment for you? Hallelujah. Jesus really loves you. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for them, church. Let's celebrate the good work that he's doing. Let's celebrate what God has started in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. As we said, today God is making something new. Hallelujah. Yes, you are stepping into the newness of your life. Will never be the same again. Your life will never be the same again. He's making all things new. God is giving you a clean slate. Hallelujah. Just when the devil thought it's over for you, just when the devil thought that you are the down and out, that your life is over, that there can never be anything good about you, guess what? You came to church. You came to receive the word of God. And you are about to enter a new covenant with Jesus Christ, a new intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You are divorcing the world. You are divorcing the lust of the world, the passions, the things of this world, and you are following him. And today there's grace for faithfulness. Hallelujah. So lift up your hands to Jesus. Raise them up like a child. You are a child of God. So raise up your hand to our Father and repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. I believe you died for me. I believe you died for me. I believe you died just for me. And on the third day, you rose again that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I am saved. I am restored. I am born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin. Come on, say it like you believe it. Say, I am free from the power of sin. Last time, I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. And thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we want to thank you for our brothers and sisters. Lord, we thank you that your family has grown. Lord, we thank you that your family is increased. Father, we thank you that you have kept adding unto us those who are being saved, those whose names are being written in the Lamb's book of life. We thank you, God, that your kingdom has come. Your will is being done. We thank you for those whose names are with you, Jesus. We thank you for freedom. We thank you for reconciliation. We thank you for redemption, for pulling them out of the pit, oh God. We thank you for this new thing you have done over the lives of your people. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus upon every one of them, oh God. And we declare that they have a seal of the Holy Spirit upon them. The promise of the Holy Spirit is within them, oh God. And the Holy Spirit is a witness within them. He gives them grace to say no to unrighteousness, to say no to wrong living, to say no to ungodliness, and to say yes to Jesus every day. Father, give them power over the enemy. Give them power over the influence of darkness. Give them power, Lord God. Watch over them, Lord Jesus, as they go out of this place, renewed, strengthened, and equipped for battle. Thank you, God, that you are making them stronger than their enemies. You are making them stronger than their obstacles. You are making them stronger than their opposition. In the name of Jesus, I commit them to you, Father God. I thank you that they are established in the faith, that there is a new legacy of faith beginning with them. In Jesus' holy name, we have prayed. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.